Hello, this is Becky Norlean here at KTWH Studio, along with Jane Timpke and with Fran Kelleher at the controls for a special program talking to Harlan Olson and his wife, Pat. Harlan recently celebrated his 100th birthday and has agreed to share some reflections from his life. Congratulations and happy birthday, Harlan.
Thank you.
Maybe you would start by telling us a little bit about your celebration.
They were very nice. They asked me what was my rank. I says, PFC.
This was an interview with some of the officers down at the American Legion.
About six or seven of them, and they were very nice.
That's great. And so they wanted to hear some of your experiences in World War II.
Yes.
That's a wonderful thing that you were able to do that with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I heard that you had a big celebration at your church.
Yeah, that was a birthday party.
When was your 100th birthday?
April 30th,
1923. Wow. What was the party at the church like?
Everybody was talking.
Yeah.
And they were very nice.
That's great.
We had company from all over. Grandkids and nieces and nephews, and it was wonderful. Oh. And lots of friends.
That is just splendid.
And lots of food.
And then later on, then you did the interview at American Legion.
That was the next day.
The next day.
Yeah, it was just a couple of days later.
Mm-hmm.
It's been kind of like he's famous.
Well, absolutely.
And that's so unusual for us because we usually are pretty quiet. But he's enjoying it.
Oh, that's great. So where were you born? Where did you grow up?
I was born in Evansville, Minnesota. It was,
were you on a farm?
Yes.
You didn't stay there very long because your dad wasn't interested in farming. So he got a job in Duluth and they moved to Duluth.
So a lot of your growing up was in Duluth?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I read that you were a Denfield grad.
Yes.
Did you play some sports in high school?
I wanted to, but I had a paper out.
Oh.
And it wasn't much, but it was a few dollars. I was able to buy myself a suit, clothes, and I paid for it.
He had a charge account at Columbia Clothing.
Oh, my.
When he was a teenager.
Wow.
I had a brother and a sister, and you know how brothers are. They don't like their younger brother sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And the sister was very nice.
Nice. What nationality is your family?
Swedish, Norwegian.
Finnish.
Finnish.
And whatever countries are near there.
Kind of a Scandinavian mix.
Yes.
That's great. So did you go to the service right out of high school?
I didn't have to go right away. They let me...
They let you finish school, but you said your dad had to go and get your diploma when you graduated, right?
I suppose a lot of your classmates were signing up.
Yeah. They didn't sign up. They were drafted.
They were drafted, yeah.
That draft was...
Yeah, as soon as you turned 18.
Yeah.
And that was... He picked me up and down I went. And I was in for a few months or whatever it was. And I joined the Air Corps. I wanted to be a flyer.
Ooh.
So I was in the last test and I was coming out of a dive. And I'm pulling in here and I couldn't get out of it. I just keep going. And my instructor in the back, "My God, you forgot to shut the motor down." And he'd cut it down, and then I could make it. But after doing that, I was kicked out of the Air Force.
Oh, dear.
And they sent me to the western part of the world, and there sat a truck that said 100th Division, and that's where I went. And after that, I went to southern France, and... we all got out, and there was no fighting, and we had to go sleep overnight, so there was a big field, and we had our pup tents with us. And so we all got her in our pup tents, and I stayed dry overnight. Some of them didn't because they didn't trench around the tent, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
So I laughed.
From there, then he went through France, mm-hmm. up into Germany,
mm-hmm.
and that was war.
We relieved the outfit that had been fighting in South America.
Uh-huh.
And we relieved them, and as we were waiting, they were coming out. Here comes this guy with a horse as a pet.
Oh, my.
And we don't think he got to take the horse home with him, so we always have wondered what happened to the guy with the horse.
I tried to find a foxhole, and I couldn't find one. So I got down and underneath
a tank?
Is that a tank was sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll just crawl under there, and I'll be safe.
Yikes.
If they move and kill me, well, that's a fire in the tune.
Oh, my.
Well, anyway, we got up in the morning, and I was fine.
You didn't get killed overnight.
No. And then my career with the 100th Division started.
Yep. What did you do when you got back from Europe? What was your first kind of work when you got back from Europe?
I played tennis.
Really?
And there was a bunch coming on a bus. And one of the guys says, "Go get a job." And he embarrassed me.
So I went
and got a job at Medical Arts Building.
He was very hurt because he had just come from the service.
Yeah.
And so did the guy playing tennis with him. They hadn't had a chance to even look for a job. And, to have somebody shout at you,
go get a job,
it kind of made us aware of what the Vietnam veterans went through coming home, because
mm-hmm.
they've been out risking their lives for their
mm-hmm.
country. And
Deserve some recreation before you have to change gears.
Yeah, you should be able to play tennis before you go look for a job.
I'll tell you a fun time. Somehow, I got behind this big tree, and there was a German with a burp gun up there. And our guards, one got shot and hurt. Well, they went down there, and they left me with this guy. I had my foot down. He could see my foot. So he was going to shoot my foot right by my toe. And I thought, I better not move or he'll think I'm alive. And I had this thing on my gun that shot big grenades. And I thought, hey, I got some bullets in my pocket. I took one of them, shoved it in the empty gun. Goodbye, guy.
Oh, my.
Well, he would have killed me.
Absolutely.
So I did it with him.
And that's not fun.
No.
And the rest of the life was pretty mild.
Wow.
Where did you primarily fight when you were in, was it France where you were?
France, yeah.
In France.
And
you landed in southern France.
Stationed.
It was pretty mild the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And it was winter, and it was very cold.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell about that you were sick?
Sure.
He was on patrol, and he was very, very sick. Cold, chills, and it doesn't matter if you're sick. You have to do what you have to do. And two of the other guys that were also with him, they laid right down in the road, and they laid on either side of him because he had the chills and fever so bad. And he got well, but I can't imagine anything more awful than to be that sick. And
mm-hmm.
there's nowhere to go to get warm to get well,
mm-hmm.
War is a terrible, terrible thing.
I forgot that.
Well, I think you're allowed to forget a few things. You've had a lot of experiences to fill up your life. It's okay if you've forgotten a few. And it sounds like Pat helps you remember.
I have a snapshot of him because the last year he was in Germany, the war had ended, and he was in charge of a warehouse
in Berlin.
In Berlin, and they had...
Well, we were stationed down here, and they sent me up here to Berlin.
And
the guy that was in this warehouse, he had enough points, he went home. So they needed somebody to take care of the warehouse. And that's fine with me. And
tell them about the scooter then.
Oh yeah, I had a scooter I took out and I drove around Berlin's.
After hours, he could tour then on the scooter. And one time you got lost, didn't you?
Yeah, I couldn't find our place. Well, I kept riding around. I finally found it.
I have a snapshot of him thumbing his nose at this statue of Hitler. And the Legion guys said they'd like to get that blown up because that's pretty cool.
Pretty classic. Yeah. So when did you two meet?
Well, I'll tell that story. I was working at St. Luke's Hospital. I was the secretary in the x-ray department. And
you were very good at it.
I did my work. But anyway, St. Luke's had an x-ray school. And one of the girls that was in training had, her family had a cabin at Knife River. And so she would get a ride back to Two Harbors with me every once in a while. And one day she said to me, "Oh, you know, Pat, you should meet my Uncle Harlan. He is so cute." And I said, "Oh." And I had been married before and was divorced and had two little boys. And then she proceeded to tell me how fussy he was. You didn't leave a magazine laying on the floor with Harlan around, you know. And I thought, oh boy, that would be wonderful with my two little boys that were, you know, like 2 and 3. And I have never thought any more about it until I had an agreement with my mother. She was my babysitter. Don't call me unless there's an emergency. So a few days later, I got a call. And I got really panicky, and I went to the phone, and there was this guy on the phone that said, "Hi, I'm Nancy's uncle. How would you like to go to the Tri-State Fair?" And I said, "No, I don't really think so." And said a few more things, and I said, "Goodbye," and I hung up on him. And the silly guy called back the next day. So he convinced me to go to the Tri-State Fair, and I was picturing somebody that would look like maybe Snively Whiplash, you know, with the awful mustache. And so I thought, oh, this is really awful. I said to Nancy, "Is he tall or short?" She said, "He's tall." Well, that was okay. "Does he have a mustache?" "No." Okay, that was okay. "Is he bald?" And she said, "Well, no, he's got this nice wavy hair. We won't talk about his hair now." And so anyway, that was our first date. We went to the Tri-State Fair, and he managed to find where I lived, and he was such a gentleman, and we had such a good time, and he was cute. Mm-hmm. And then he met my little boys, and they just loved him. And
the second one walked across the floor, and he pooped.
he was in potty training, yeah.
Yeah,
but they just fell in love with him, and that was a plus, mm-hmm. In my book, because I knew that he was a good man, and he mm-hmm. is.
Mm-hmm. And you went on to have more kids together.
We had, I had two boys, and then we had three more boys, so we had five all together. Well, I can't say they're good kids anymore; they're good men. And so we are fortunate. All of our children are still living, mm-hmm. in various stages of health. But most of them are like Dad. You know, they're pretty healthy.
One was living on the West Coast, Curtis, and one lives outside of Duluth. Another one lives outside of Duluth.
Then both of them, yeah. And one lives up in Roseau, if you know where Roseau is.
Mm-hmm.
And one lives just outside of Two Harbors.
Well, so. That's nice that you got three of them actually pretty close.
Yeah, and we have grandchildren around, and we have great-grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And we are so lucky.